You'll take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 3. We'll look at verses 20 and 21 and then drop down to 27 and 28. Starting in verse 20 of Romans chapter 3. Says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Drop down to verse 27. Says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of law. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for your love and mercy and grace to us tonight. We're thankful that you're always there for us. No matter what's going on in our lives, we can always count on you being there. We thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. We thank you that once saved, always saved. We don't have to ever be concerned about losing our salvation because it's not possible to happen. So we thank you for your word. We thank you that salvation is a free gift that you have given based on what the Lord Jesus Christ has already completed. And so we thank you for what you're going to do. Looking forward to it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So God's plan of salvation is that God will grant this righteousness apart from the obedience of the law or the commandments of God. It's not about what we do. It's about what he's already done. And we can't add to it, can't take away from what he's done. He's finished. When he was on the cross and he said, it is finished, everything was taken place that needed to be taken place for salvation to be available for us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that he did that all on his own. And I thank God that when he came, he knew what he was going to face here. He knew exactly what he was going to face. God's seen all the way from eternity past to eternity future. He's seen it all. He knew what was going to take place. And he still left heaven's glory. Still came knowing he would be nailed to that cross. Knowing that he'd be spit on, buffeted, the whole nine yards. And he still laid down his life. Knowing that he would take it up again. And that he would be our Savior. And praise the Lord for that. Turn over to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. Where we see more of this same idea here. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And then Galatians 3:11, we see again, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. I said last night And in my message, it'd be interesting, you know, we don't know what's going to take place, right? And I was talking about Faith Promise Missions because it was a missions conference. And I said, when God gives us a number and all, we put it down on our commitment cards, which this is a good segue into you should be praying for that because the end of next month we are going to be in missions conference. We need to be praying ahead of time as to what God would have us to give for the coming year. But I said, we'd like to be able to see what God's going to do so that we can give accordingly, right? But the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith, not by sight. We have to trust that he is going to take care of it. And so by faith, we are saved by the faith of Jesus Christ, right? Our faith in him, not by anything we do, but by faith. We believe that he came and that he died. We believe that we're a sinner, right? In need of a Savior. We believe those things. And we believe it by faith. By faith. So God's plan of salvation is that God will grant this righteousness by faith. Turn back over to Romans chapter 3, if you would, please. Verse 22, where it says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. God's plan of salvation is that God will grant this righteousness apart from merit. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nobody is exempt from that. We have all sinned. In fact, we probably sin today. Most likely, right? I know there was a couple times today when I got a little irritated about things that were not going the way I wanted them to. And I had to say, sorry, Lord. I get it. There's a reason these things are happening, and I need to just accept it and not get irritated by it. And it's so easy because we have an idea of what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it, and when something interferes with that, it's easy to get irritated. Mad, upset, whatever you want to throw in there, it's easy to do that. But there's a reason why things happen in our lives. And we need to be accepting of that and know that God's got it taken care of. God's plan of salvation is that God will grant righteousness by divine declaration. Look at Romans 3 and verse 24, where he says, being justified. God's plan of salvation is that God will grant the righteousness as a free gift. As a free gift. I've said many times, if I was out here handing out $20 bills, people would be all over me trying to get them, right? But the free gift of eternal life, which is worth so much more, they turned down. It's amazing. I was at a youth rally one time. Brother McCracken was there. Brother McCracken took out some cash from his wallet. And he said, this is a free gift. And everybody just sat there. And I thought, if somebody doesn't go get that, I'm going to. But I wasn't one of the youth. But I thought, somebody needs to go get that. And he made the comment, what's wrong with you guys? This is a free gift. But it's not yours till you accept it. Pretty soon this kid come running down and he grabbed it out of his hand and he says, see, he's accepted it. Now it's his. God has offered the free gift, but until we accept it, it's not ours. We have to accept it. And I thought, well, that was a good illustration. Because until he came and got that, it wasn't his. Even though Brother McCracken had offered it, right? How many times is there something offered free and we just ignore it? If we're the average human, it's not very often we go buy something that's free and say, forget it, right? I liked yesterday when I was there, right above the opening for where the kitchen is in the church over there, it says, if you feed them, they will come. There's a lot of truth to that. I was at a church one time, we had Friends Day. You invite all your friends, right? People show up. Nate would ask them, how come you came? Free food. More than once, that was the answer, free food. Said, wasn't about coming to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ? No, it was free food. Now, they had to listen to the message and all. Or at least they had to be present for the message. I can't say they actually listened, but they had to be present for when the message was given before they could eat. But that was the answer a lot of them gave, was free food. And the next week, we only had a couple that came back the next week. The rest of them didn't return. But it's a free gift. And God offers it, and people turn it down. But I bet if I put out on the reader board out there that this Sunday we're going to have free food for the neighborhood, this place probably would be so packed we couldn't fit everybody in here. But we offer them Jesus Christ, and they don't come. God's plan of salvation is that God will grant this righteousness as a free gift. So look at 3:24 of Romans. It says, being justified freely. Freely. God's plan of salvation is that God will grant this righteousness to the unworthy. Being justified freely by His grace. His grace. And then God's plan of salvation is that God will grant this righteousness through the payment of another. The verse goes on and says, through the redemption. And then God's plan of salvation is that God will grant this righteousness through His Son. And the rest of the verse says, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's only through Jesus Christ that we can have salvation. It's the only way. And I know there's a lot of places out there that are preaching all kinds of ways to get to heaven, but the Bible's very clear there's one. If we don't come through the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't come. It's very clear. I liked a guy one time, he says, if you just come to my house and walk right in, I'll probably shoot you. But if I invite you in and you come, that's a whole different story. Jesus invites us to come. But if we try to sneak in, it's not going to work. We have to come through Jesus Christ. God's plan of salvation is that God will grant this righteousness through the righteous sanctification of justice. Look at verse 25 of Romans 3. It says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. God's plan of salvation is that God will grant this righteousness through the blood of Christ, when it says through faith in His blood. In His blood. And then how God saves man. Salvation accomplished. We have seen that since none deserve salvation, not one of us deserve it. That's why it always irritates me when we say, well, they don't deserve it. What they deserve is to go to hell, right? Because they're so evil and wicked. No, that's what we all deserve. And we've got to get that. We aren't any better than the evilest, most wicked person on the earth. We all were destined to hell. Thank God that when God came looking for us, we accepted. You notice I didn't say we went looking for Him. He came looking for us. We see that in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve didn't go looking for God. God went looking for them. We need to understand that God came, and when He looked for us and we submitted, we realized our condition. We accepted that. That was the only possible way for man to be saved. God freely gave salvation to the undeserving, and we're all undeserving. Let me just throw in this. Let's not be unthankful, though. A lot of people are unthankful, and I'm hearing it more and more. When people do something for people, and then used to be, years ago, you would thank people for what they've done for you. Nowadays, it seems like that's the rarity. It shouldn't be. You should be very thankful. In fact, daily we should be thanking God for another day. Daily we should be thanking Him for the health that we do have. I was talking to Brother Stanchfield yesterday after the service and all. He went through his heart surgery and all, and he says, I still don't have the energy level I had before. I said, well, it takes time. He just went through open heart surgery last, I want to say it's been less than 6 months ago. And here he's not got all the energy level back. Well, I wouldn't expect you to. But he looks good. Seems to be doing okay. He said, the older I get, the slower I become. I said, welcome to old age. We're all there. And if we keep breathing, we'll get there, right? The question is, how can God righteously forgive the guilty? How can God be just and give salvation to sinners? If God's righteousness demands that the sins of the wicked must be punished, how can God rightly grant heaven to those who justly deserve hell? The answer is in the following truths of salvation, the Bible doctrine of substitution. Look at 1 Peter 3:18. First Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And then 2 Corinthians 5:21 speaks to this as well. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then a couple more verses. Look at Romans 5:8. And we'll go to Isaiah after this. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then Isaiah 53. Starting in verse 4. Says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him as stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of the soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justly justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Christ is the one who is our substitute. He died in our place. He took our penalty. Definition, the act of Christ whereby he took upon himself the guilt and paid the penalty of our sin and then bestowed his righteousness upon us. We got the better deal, I've said many times. We got a much better deal than he got. We got his righteousness, he got our sin. We got much better deal. The plan of substitution. The Son of God became the Son of Man, so the sons of man may become the sons of God. We get to be children of God. And that's why I always tell people, you want to keep using your NIV, go for it. You can't be a child of God. Based on that scripture, you cannot be a child of God. But based on the King James, you can be. It does make a difference where the scriptures come from. It makes a huge difference. And then the person of substitution, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Only one being in all of creation was able to be our substitute. Only one. No one else could have paid the penalty for our sins but the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Hebrews 7:25. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. In Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Isn't it great that he can do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think? I mean, we have some pretty big requests at times, don't we? We think about things that we want, and I think that when we get past ourselves and we start thinking of others, we start being more concerned about where others are going to spend eternity. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Second Timothy 1:12 says, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hebrews 2:18 says, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. The Bible tells us he was tempted in all points, just like we are, yet without sin. He committed not one sin as he was tempted, and all the same things we're tempted in. People say, yeah, but he was God. He is God. It was not God. He is God. He's always been God. He became man so he could die in our place and take our sin and exchange it for his righteousness. Look over in Jude chapter 24. For sake of time, we'll probably have to end with this. Jude 24. Should clarify that. That is Jude verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. It's great that Jesus did all of this for us, and then he presents us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Not just joy, but exceeding joy. He came knowing that he was destined to die so that we could have salvation, that we could be reconciled to God, and he would do it with exceeding joy. I think of how many of us, if God had said, you go and you redeem mankind, we'd all said, they ain't worth it. I've seen them. They aren't worth it. Jesus said, they're worth it. Thank God that he did. Thank God that it was Jesus and not us that was sent. Too many times I think that if we had the option, we would just say mankind's not worth it. All right.